Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 256, recorded on May 29th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I'm, like, so excited to be here.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Adam Christensen from the MacCast is here, too. Hey, Adam.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Even better when I get the sandwich in me.
Yeah, eating the sandwich. It's like 2 o'clock, so gotta keep that blood sugar, or you get hangry, I guess, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Don't want to do that. This show is sponsored by Casper at casper.com/TIOSS. We'll talk a little bit later about how you can get $50 off an awesome mattress.
I sleep on their beds.
Me too.
It's the best.
It is. I really like my Casper mattress. But iPhone, iOS stuff, and all that. Johnny Ive has been named the Chief Design Officer. He's Apple created a new title for him to capture what it is he does. And it's kind of like the, I don't know, it seems like the Steve Jobs position.
Yeah, I like how you said that. It's kind of like the Steve Jobs position.
Yeah.
And I know I'm about to say something that a lot of people are going to think is flat out wrong. This is not the beginning of an exit strategy for Johnny Ive.
Yeah, I never really, I didn't think that at all as I was reading what had happened. It seems more like he has moved back to a position that he feels more suited to fulfilling.
Well, it seems like a waste of money to have him handling administrative tasks.
Yeah.
As opposed to designing great stuff.
Right.
So get a couple people to work with him that he can delegate things to. He can get back to focusing on designing really great stuff. Everyone wins.
Yeah. So Alan Dye and Richard Howarth are taking over day-to-day design management. As far as their positions, I'm not clear. Do you know off the top of your head?
They're doing, from what I understand, pretty much what they've been doing. It's just that now they have an official title to go along with that. So what, I forgot
Vice
who's
president
handling
positions, but
which.
Yeah.
This yeah. So
basically the management stuff. So good.
Yeah.
Good
so
all
one's
around.
Doing hardware. The other's doing software, and they're both working with Johnny Ive. He can focus more on what he really needs to be doing. And it seems like a win-win scenario.
Yeah.
Just seems more like structuring stuff. This is just like paper labels moving around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to wonder.
I don't know that any major roles are changing or becoming different.
I agree. I don't think anything is actually changing from the way things have been running for probably at least the last few months. This is just making it official on paper.
Okay, so yeah, that was my next question, is do you think that it's been running like this for the last couple of years, or do you think that there is an actual tangible change as far as how Johnny will be doing things at Apple? And you think that perhaps he's been doing it like this for the last couple of months, but indeed he will have more time available to work on the stuff that he truly cares about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And if Apple hadn't officially made these changes, I mean, you know, like
announced
changed
them.
Titles.
Sure.
They would have, we wouldn't have known any different.
Yeah. Someone in a tornado?
That's thunder that was close enough that the floor in my place actually vibrated.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah.
It's like that movie. The San Andreas movie. Did you see previews for that?
I saw previews for it, and I'm like, is this thing even for real?
I know.
Like is this a joke teaser trailer?
It looks totally hilarious with The Rock. I mean, The Rock is perfect for this movie. because you just need a guy named The Rock to be able to continuously like punch through walls and save the day. But yeah,
he doesn't use that name anymore, you know, right?
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah,
I think he was billed as The Rock. I could have been mistaken.
Really?
I might have just
he's been using his real name for his movies.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe I was just totally stupefied by what I was seeing in the theater. He looked like he was being a rock, like actually a giant just boulder crashing through things. So
yeah. Well, now that movie should hit home for you now, Michael, that you're a West Coaster. Yeah. Yeah, you're like right near there.
Yeah, where everything's just gonna explode and fall over and it's going to be
awesome. Slide right into the ocean.
Yeah. Good times.
Don't forget your swimsuit.
I won't.
All right.
Apple updated the WWDC app with Apple Watch support, which is neat, but they also confirmed that indeed June 8th, 10 a.m., that's when we're going to get the keynote with all the new fun stuff.
Can somebody please tell me why those apps, because it showed up on my watch. And I have that stupid checkbox check that says,
I don't know, man. Is everybody else
having that problem? Like any new app that gets updated, it seems I get the watch app automatically installed on my watch.
It's kind of hit or miss.
Pissing me off.
Hit or miss.
No, I haven't been having that. Although I have been having a problem where I'll install an app on my iPhone, go into the Apple Watch app and say, put it on my Apple Watch. But I can't because the app doesn't show up in the Apple Watch app for a really long time.
I've seen that happen too. I think it's just a matter of communication between the watch and the phone. Just sometimes there's some syncing that needs to be done or something. I don't know. It's really strange.
You'd think an app on the iPhone
would know that it was there.
Would know that it's there. Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, I have a bunch of stalled ones now too, which is really fun.
Yeah.
You know, where like the little circles, the gray circles just over the icon. And I can't remove it or delete it.
Oh, yeah.
Toggle it
too.
Yeah. Well, I should mention
that. Well, remember, Adam, it just works.
Oh, good. No, we're way past that. That was like 2003 was when shit just worked.
I'm going to reboot my watch. Maybe that'll.
Yeah, reboot your watch. God, isn't that a great thing to say? I need to reboot my watch. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But I should bring up the fact that I am dealing with some band issues on my watch. Discoloration.
You had the crusty
band. It's not crusty. I don't know that I've really noticed
it's
any
weird looking
stuff peeling off. But it looks as though stuff had peeled off. I didn't actually see any flaking or any pieces that came off because I know that some people have said that bands in the stores have peeled off, but. It's a very distinct spot on the top side, on the top band, and it's sort of rectangular just above the watch case, and I sent photos of it to Apple support, and they passed it to the engineers, and they said, yeah, that's abnormal, we want to bring it in and have a look at it. So they sent me a whole brand new watch, like retail box with the band.
Wow.
And the case and everything, which I thought was kind of overkill because, you know, the case is fine, but that's cool.
Sure.
Although it's not as cool as I had hoped because the new one I have, the home button or the digital crown button is kind of screwy.
You don't think it's clicky enough?
No, it's not. I think the spring force in it is too weak. It's not restoring itself. There's either too much resistance or I think maybe not enough resistance to pressing. So it's kind of a mushy sort of feel when clicking, and double clicking is really, really clumsy and difficult because it doesn't seem to pop back out as you
expect. Too much floral, not enough elastomer.
Sure. We'll go with that. Yeah. And we had a listener, David wrote into us last month or at the beginning of this month with a very similar problem, and I would imagine perhaps the same problem. He described it. I went back and reread his email, and it seems to have the same exact issue where double clicking the home button is weird, and I would not have really noticed the issue had I not had the first watch that I have, and I have my girlfriend's playing with my old watch that we have to send back for the next couple of days just because we have an opportunity to to let her try one out. And so she played with it for a day, and then she knew that I had the complaint of the dodgy digital crown, and she said, okay, let me see. And she messed with it, and she's like, yeah, there is a big difference. I didn't really... She doesn't believe me when I complain about these sorts of things.
Is your digital crown limp and mushy?
Yeah, you may need a
Cialis.
You may need
Cialis.
Cialis for your digital crown.
If your digital crown remains firm for more than 4 hours, please call your doctor.
Yes. No, go to the nearest emergency room.
That's right.
Yeah. Immediately.
You know, if that happened to me, I'd actually take photos and,
no.
And call my friends and say, you have to check out my digital crown.
Dude, never mind. Let's get off that. So... I haven't tried rinsing it yet. It was like that when it came out of the box. We'll see if there's a support representative. They're routing all support to senior support staff if you call about the Apple Watch. So this guy's been calling me periodically to just let me know that things are still moving along. So I'm sure he'll give me a call and I'll ask him what to do. So I may get a third watch.
You'll tell him you have a mushy digital crown.
Yeah, and he'll, you know, face palm and be like, okay, what is it now, guy? Who complains about everything?
If you weren't on a list at Apple before, you are now.
Yeah, I'm on that list. Don't worry. So let's see. iOS. Oh, the text message bug. Do you guys see this? If you send
yes. Jeff has a good story about it. Maybe.
Yeah, let's hear about it. Someone sent you these characters.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a string of it's a very specific string of Unicode characters, and it includes like some Arabic symbols and stuff, and when someone sends you a text message with this specific string, if it shows up on your as a notification, a pop-up notification, your iPhone will do a fast crash and reboot. And then when you go into messages, if you haven't received another message in that same chat, when you go into that chat, it will then crash messages. And it looks like it's a problem with the way iOS 8 is handling certain Unicode text renderings. And so this specific string just happens to cause this bug to manifest itself. Now, the awesome story to go along with this is that my girlfriend's son, who is 12, heard about this and then immediately started texting it to his mom.
Oh, boy.
And the first time he does it, he doesn't realize that that sending additional texts afterwards will save her from the problem. So he crashes her iPhone and then sends another text, mom, another text, mom. Are you there, mom? Mom? And so then over the course of several hours after that, he sent her the crash text string. It was like 10 more times. So I have now dubbed this the 12-year-old boy bug.
Yeah, I've heard reports of kids sending them to their friends and that sort of thing.
What I want to know is, how does somebody figure this thing out? Because I saw the string and like, are you kidding me? Like,
it's ridiculous.
How would you know how to put that combination of Unicode characters together?
It's got to be just it obviously didn't come out immediately that.
But like, people sit around and just like throw Unicode characters at, because this has happened before, right? We've seen this bug before with Unicode.
It's tough.
I have a hypothesis, and my hypothesis is that you know, each Unicode character has an identifying code, so that numerical value, you know, it equates back to a specific character, and people that are trying to find holes through Apple security.
Yeah, I think that's what
are looking for specific strings of characters, and they're basing it on the number values and knowing how the math works. And so they're like, okay, well, if we have this string of characters, then we're likely to get this result, and this result may cause this other problem.
Some jailbreaking relies on right in the past, hasn't then that been some of the ways that you could actually get a jailbreak to work.
Yeah. Because there was
the bootloader or something like that.
There was a web-based jailbreak for a while. Jailbreak me.
Yeah. So my guess is that this came out of people trying to figure out how to enable specific hacks or jailbreaks, and they came across this and were like, oh, hey, look what we just did.
This is interesting, yeah. And then 12-year-old boys went, oh, I'm going to check this to everybody I know.
Yeah.
Because so that's hilarious.
Apparently, everyone with an iPhone at my girlfriend's son's school yesterday and today has basically been unable to have any form of communication because everyone's sending the string to each other.
So
and crashing
fun.
Phones. We live in the future.
Yep.
They're going to have to go back to passing paper notes.
Ah, oh, the good old days.
It's like stone knives and bearskins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what else here? Oh, and I guess there's a fix is going to be coming out soon from Apple. They're aware of it. And yeah,
think?
So the fix, the temporary fix is to get another message in the same thread. Is that correct? Or to
yes.
just get another message at all?
In the same thread. It needs okay. to be in the same thread.
So have your
so that the Unicode string
buddy,
is not the most recent message.
Yeah.
Anybody think Eddie Q sent it to Tim Cook?
Totally. Totally. Or Jaws. Jawsweak might have done it.
Yeah.
Jaws seems like a total wild card there. Okay. Oh, this proactive thing. This is kind of interesting. So there, did you guys read about this? 9to5Mac is talking about how the
it's
Apple
the
is...
augmented reality company.
They're doing a little bit of the augmented reality thing. That's part of this. So I guess that is... they want to be able to bring more information sort of in the Monocle thing that Yelp has. So, but I don't think they want to bring the actual like virtual reality with people holding up their phones and looking through the camera and seeing all that stuff right away, if at all. It seems like they're going to try and provide that information to you contextually, right? So maybe you're walking downtown and you're looking for a place to eat and you just kind of see the list of restaurants and then you can very quickly bring up the like the menus and the times that they're open. And I think it kind of falls in line with what they're already doing where you see the hours of businesses right in the maps listing and that's just pulled from Yelp. So I think they're trying to improve that feature. They also purchased an app called Q, which gives you more context-based information, sort of on the same lines as Google Now does. So, looking at your calendar to give you more up-to-date information, looking at your email, passbook to see if you have flights or tickets in there. That sort of thing. So I guess proactive is a good way to describe it. But I guess they're going to be putting that in the Spotlight menu that they currently have. There's word that they're going to be moving the Spotlight menu in iOS back to the left of the home screen as they did in previous OSs, I guess. From
why?
They say that it's been difficult for users to actually discover the pull-down spotlight thing. They've seen a decline in use of it, and so they want to move it back over.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree with that, though.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It makes
I've
perfect
shown it
sense.
To people,
there's no indication.
Like, whoa, I didn't even know that was there.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that you have to either know about or stumble upon. Otherwise, you won't know it's there. And I think that's one of those things that we've sort of lost since Steve Jobs stopped.
So are they going to bring back the little magnifying glass to the left of the first home screen?
Yeah, I would think that might be what they do. They're still using the magnifying glass. So I would think that they would use that.
Right, but remember, it used to be next to the, you know, it used to have its own little
icon,
right, in the little dots down at the bottom that showed the
differentiate between the
pages
the,
right?
You know, thinking about it, moving that back over to the left kind of makes sense to me more now than it did just a minute ago. Because explaining to someone swipe down on the screen is one thing. But telling them swipe down on the screen, but you have to swipe here to do this and swipe here to do this.
Right. You got different start points. Because it confuses it with the notification. Because you're like, you mean where I access notifications? No, you just in the middle of the screen swipe down.
Totally.
But
Yeah. And they're like, I always swipe in the middle. But no, you mean you swipe from the middle at the top. I mean the middle in the middle.
And they're like, wait, yeah, you're right.
What?
So from 9 to 5 Mac, they say below the search bar will sit a new user interface that automatically populates with content based around three key parts of iOS: apps, contacts, and maps, effectively a considerably upgraded version of Siri's existing digital assistant functionality. For example, if a user has a flight listed in her calendar application and a boarding pass stored in Passbook, a bubble within the new proactive screen will appear around flight time to provide quick access to the boarding pass, which I'm not sure is that necessary.
This is sounding because it's already more like Google Now.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. Yeah.
Google announced something like this just at Google I/O, right? It's an extension to Google Now that is going to, again, be the same kind of thing. It's all about making search and discovery stuff more contextual with more input. And this is something that I've always wanted Apple to work on and never quite understood why Spotlight Search and even Siri can't be more intuitive about like what I'm asking about based on the other data that it's collected. So for example, if you look at the calendar and you know I have a meeting coming up in 15 minutes, chances are a search or a request that I'm making might be related to that. And so you should give higher priority to results that would relate to that. Mm-hmm. You know, those sorts of things. It just makes sense. So like Michael's saying, you know, if I'm doing a search, if I search for Chinese food, you might want to start with looking at the maps or my location data, go, oh, well, Adam's near here. He might be looking for a restaurant to go to.
Right, yeah, based on what time it is.
And also based on what time it is. If it's, you know, 3 in, if it's, you know, 8 in the morning, maybe not. If it's 5 or 6 in the afternoon, you know, you adjust that stuff.
Sure, so, yeah. The other thing is they say if a user has a calendar appointment coming up, a map view could appear with an estimated arrival time, directions, and a time to leave indicator based on traffic, which, again, totally Google Now stuff and way cool, and I want it.
Yeah, they should have been doing it from the get-go. I don't know why it's taking this long.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, for example, when I go to school, usually the route is really clear, but sometimes, every once in a while, there's some kind of crazy traffic situation, and I don't often check because usually it's fine, but it'd be nice if my phone was like, yo dude, it's crazy right now, so you should go a different way.
One thing I always want to ask Siri but can't do it because it doesn't work is you know, give me directions to my next appointment. Address data in my appointments, right?
Yeah, you'd think that she would be able to do that. That seems totally logical.
Can't. You got to open up the, you know, you can get her to open up the calendar event, and then you can click on the address and then go to maps and then start the, you know, it should just be, give me directions to my next appointment. It pulls it right up and starts maps, you know, starts navigating it. Why that doesn't work baffles me.
Yeah, I don't know. The one thing I think they also mentioned in this article is that Apple has been long considering creating a Siri API for third-party developers, but they're still not wanting to do it because they are really concerned about privacy, because they're worried that you may get misfires of sending data to the wrong applications. So if they do do any sort of Siri API, it's going to be limited. They call it breadcrumbs. So it's a limited Siri API to address privacy concerns, which allows proactive in Siri to index parts of apps that have been recently accessed, and is apparently similar to the app indexing feature that Google announced for Android and today on iOS. Not today, but during I/O. So
the other thing I just want them to fix is the Yo, that personal assistant that we always use.
Mm-hmm.
Her ability to understand that when I'm in the car and my phone is plugged in, I want to use Siri on my phone and not on my stupid watch.
I don't know why that's an issue. I don't ever have that problem at all. I've
my watch picks up every time before the phone. And the problem is that the watch cannot do all the functions that my phone can do.
Well, maybe you're like spazzing out before you say, "Yo, Siri."
No, that's
maybe
not
you're, maybe you're like flipping your arms around. And
it's just
and
it I'm not paying attention. And if the watch is active, then what I have to do is just disable the raise to view thing and get used to just tapping the screen when I want to see something on my watch.
Or just make sure you're not activating. I think you just need to need to chill out.
Why?
Just quit drinking so much coffee.
Think about that. That reduces the utility for me. So I should be able to just get in the car and give a command and it should happen.
I think you're doing it wrong. You're holding it wrong. I don't have this problem.
All right, here's a problem I'm having with the watch and the iPhone, which is that after getting Apple Watch, if my Apple Watch is currently linked to my phone, very often I get errors about call failures when I get an incoming call. Like, I pick up the phone to look at it. I haven't even touched anything on the screen, and I get an error saying that the call failed.
Huh.
And it looks different from you know, like a regular call failed sort of message.
Weird.
Yeah.
Here's another one someone pointed out to me, and I can't believe this. I was like baffled when they told me that this was how it was working. One of my listeners said, you know, one thing I really wish the watch would do is when I'm on a call, currently on a call on my phone, and I get a secondary call coming in, you know, because you've got the phone to your face, right? So you want to know who's that secondary call.
That
why can't I look at my watch and see, oh, hey, Michael's calling you while I'm on a call on my phone?
That would be so nice. I would love that.
But why,
that would
be awesome. Why isn't that there out of the gate? Like, when they told me that, I'm like, it doesn't do that? Like, that seems so obvious to me.
Well, 1.0, man.
Yeah. So, hopefully.
I'm thinking that traditionally, I don't put beta software on my phone or, you know, my phone, I won't put it on, but maybe my iPad, I will, because it's not so mission critical. I think I'm gonna get access to the beta and throw that on my phone, because I feel like
8.4
stuff is the Watch OS, the 2.0 beta.
The watch.
When WWDC comes out, I think I'm gonna throw that on my watch, because it just seems like it's probably gonna be faster, considering once we get native apps. Hopefully, I'll get to test some native apps during that development period. It'd be interesting. What else we have here? Oh, I wonder if this is going to work, transfer over to iOS. In Mac OS 10, the latest beta, they have switched networking processes from Discovery D, which is the new thing, the new networking process that they introduced with Yosemite. They've rolled back to the
you
old
mean the
one.
The totally broken networking process that they rolled
that would
out
be
with
the one. Yes.
Yeah, that one. They're back with MDNS Responder, which has been around for a long time and works pretty well. And you got to wonder if they're going to be doing the same thing with iOS. It's interesting that they rolled back. You got to wonder if they've maybe shoehorned some of the new features that Discovery D had, shoehorned those into MDNS Responder. It's not really clear why they switched.
Oh, I think it's pretty clear why they switched.
No. Initially to Discovery D.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The assumption was that they did it because they needed to enable all the continuity stuff.
Right, but is continuity still working with?
Yeah, that's what. Oh, I don't know how they roll it back to MDNS Responder. I did see a couple developers going back and forth on Twitter, just saying, "Well, maybe they just renamed Discovery D."
Yeah, that's
MDNS
that's totally
Responder, and nobody really knows.
That would be weird. Why would they do that?
Just to trick people, be like, "Hey, yeah, we switched it back. Everything's
and
fine
everyone's
now."
Like, hey, it works.
Look away.
Oh, it's snappier.
No problem here.
Yeah. Yeah, like
the placebo effect.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yes, and as far as Apple Maps and iOS 9, so we've been talking about Apple potentially adding transit stuff to Apple Maps, and according to 9to5 Mac, they believe it's going to be a limited rollout at launch, where they will have a small number of cities across the US, Canada, Europe, and China when iOS 9 is released. San Francisco and New York are said to be two of the locations in the US, and also
is it really hard to do transit?
I think it is. There's a lot of variables in
moving
play,
data,
and yeah. I think it makes sense. You want to make sure you get it right because you really can't screw up somebody's.
Because cities are probably changing routes and times and stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, so and they probably want to have.
Then why doesn't Apple just buy transit?
Like buy all city transit?
No, by the app transit.
By the app transit, I don't know.
They've bought it. Early on, didn't they buy a couple companies that were doing transit stuff too?
That sounds familiar.
Way back when.
Hop, yeah. Stop, and Embark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe, I would imagine the rollout is going to be quicker than they will let on. I think they just want to make sure that it works out. And as time goes on in iOS 9, I think they'll say, hey, now we have, Chicago and other places, other cities that I can't think of. But yeah. And I think that's kind of how they did it with
you'll
Google
get it
Maps.
In slow in 2020.
This is hardly public transportation here anyway. I guess there's the bus, but...
I used the bus all the time when I went to school there.
Yeah, it's the bus. What else do we have here? Oh, the vans. The Apple vans that we've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That we thought
have you seen one? I've seen one.
I have not seen one. That's kind of
exciting. I have not seen one. But then
I saw one when we were in Orlando.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in Orlando. That's not even California. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they're it's not for did you report one? Because I guess there's a map.
No, I didn't. Mac Rumors has a map. I didn't report it because I looked on their map and no one has reported it from there, but I totally saw one. I didn't have my phone was in my pocket and I was driving and I didn't feel it was safe for me to try and get
did you need a picture? Did you need a photo to prove where you were? I guess you probably do. It looks like all these.
Well, I don't know about that, but I just wanted a photo for myself because I was like, whoa. And it was right after, it was maybe a week or two after it was first reported that those things were on the road.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I just saw one. I was like, whoa, it's totally one of those.
Yeah, they have two sightings near Orlando, so... And when you're Tampa, neat.
Yeah, if you zoom in, they're pretty far away from where I was. So I was right there at like Walt Disney World, basically.
Yeah. Oh, cool. It seems like it's for their mapping stuff because they're trying to move to an in-house mapping database.
Now I'm confused as to why people were ever thinking it was anything other than that.
Autonomous cars.
Oh, I didn't. No. I never thought anything other than that.
Totally for mapping. But I know there's all these people like, oh, autonomous cars. No, mapping.
On the mapping side, Michael, are they still discounting that it might be for like a street view kind of functionality?
I don't know.
I really hope that,
yeah, that would be great.
It probably isn't. It's probably more about data accuracy, but I would hope that Apple's going to bring street view kind of functionality.
They have the vans driving around. They have all this gear on them. Why not have cameras to gather all the street view data at the same time? Even if they're not going to use it today, they're right. Building up the database when they're ready to.
Yeah, perhaps they do.
I don't know. I still think that's the killer feature that Google Maps has that Apple Maps is severely lacking.
Totally.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We got to get through this stuff before Jeff has to go. Let's talk about our sponsor, Casper at casper.com/TIOSS. You can get $50 off a new amazing mattress. Casper mattresses are obsessively engineered mattresses at extremely fair prices. They have just the right sink coupled with the right bounce. And, if you've ever gotten on one of these memory foam mattresses, and it is one of those, it's similar to a memory foam mattress. It has the wonderful benefits of being super comfy. But those memory foam mattresses, usually, you kind of just like sink into them, like it's quicksand or something. It's really hard to get off of them. And Casper mattresses are different. They have a hybrid of two technologies, latex foam and memory foam. So it gives you the comfort of memory foam, but doesn't sink in. It has a great bounce, so it's awesome. Sleeping on this thing is just, it's wonderful. I'm so glad we don't have a spring mattress anymore. And so they have a risk-free trial and return policy. You can try sleeping on a Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. And the cool thing about this
is... You're not going to return it.
First of all, you're not going to return it. Yeah. But, you know, statistically, lying on a bed for 4 minutes in a showroom, it just doesn't have any correlation to whether it's the right bed for you. It's just like, I mean, honestly...
Really? That's shocking.
I know. I don't even like to be... like have a guy watching me as I look at things in a store in general, because I feel like I'm being pressured into like deciding whether I want to do it or not.
You know, I've been in mattress stores and laid down on the mattress and the sales guy's like, well, how do you like it? I'm like, get in here and spoon with me.
You should say that.
I did. And he didn't.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
Did he walk away? Hopefully he did.
He just kind of stood there with glazed eyes.
And then you're like, okay, see ya.
Yeah, okay, see ya.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know what? Yeah, like you said, you're not going to want to return this thing because these things are great. I've actually, so Casper sent me one of these mattresses last year. We've been sleeping on it for a long time, probably more than the 100 days. I did not at any point think I don't like it or that I wanted to return it. I actually kept my old mattress around for a while because I wasn't sure if I would like it. And man, this thing is just, it's super comfy. You can put it on a box spring if you want. You don't need to put it on a box spring. And you know what? They're really inexpensive. $500 for a twin size mattress and $950 for a king size mattress. I think you can get a king or a California king. They're both $950. Pretty sure about that. And comparing that to industry averages, that's an outstanding price point, especially for the like space age tech that they have in here. It's not a cheap crap mattress. It's high quality and it's made in America too. And you know what? Like I said, $50 off. If you go to casper.com/TIOSS, $50 off any mattress you want. It's, like I said, 100-day trial. So you can go get that mattress, shows up at your door in a deceptively small box. And, that way it's really easy to bring it into your bedroom. You move stuff out of the way, take the box off of it. And then there's some cute instructions and a neat little box cutter thing. And you just kind of cut one little piece and it just kind of flies open and then becomes a bed and it inflates. It's really cool.
I think they're using Time Lord technology. The box is bigger on the inside.
Yeah. You got to think so. It's really cool. So yeah, I mean, if you don't like it, of course you can return it. Within 100 days. That's their guarantee. You get all your money back. Yeah. So check them out. Casper.com/TIOSS. You get $50 off. Go check them out. Use that URL. It helps us out. Even if you're not sure you want to buy one, use that URL to let them know you're considering it and that you heard about the show. And we thank them for the support of the iOS show. And with that, iOS 9 will feature Force Touch with haptic feedback, as well as a new keyboard design. Now, the interesting thing is, so there's more and more support saying that we're going to see Force Touch along with haptic feedback in iOS 9 on iPhones and iPads. That, of course, coming from 9 to 5 Mac. The interesting thing, though, is they don't think we're going to see new hardware announced at WWDC, and so they're not sure we're actually going to hear anything about the new technology in iOS 9 for Force Touch, because that would kind of imply that we're going to see iPhones with Force Touch, because they can't just be like, hey, developers, make Force Touch apps for iPhones that don't have it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is interesting. They're also thinking about redesigning the keyboard so that the QuickType is easier to use.
Is it hard to use now?
I don't know that it is. I actually kind of I've become more accustomed to it.
Yeah, me too.
After a while, yeah. The only thing is, I don't know. Hopefully, they just kind of improve the way that it works, because it's just sometimes I type the letter I and a space and you think it's going to capitalize it, but then it's just dumb. It just dumbs out on you. Sometimes it just does really stupid things or lets you type like tie, like weird words that you would just expect would be automatically corrected, but then it just goes nutso on you. It's really strange. And they're also
I still have to kind of force myself to use it. But when I do use it, every time I use it, I'm like, oh, I should use this more.
Yeah. As far as like predicting words.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of do that.
I sometimes don't pay attention to it. And then when I start to notice it, I'm like, oh, it's actually already got the word that I'm trying to type right now. And I could just tap that and move on.
Yeah, I start typing the first couple of letters and then it figures it out and I just keep moving. Yeah, and they're also going to be supposedly redesigning the shift key to provide an easier visual understanding of when the shift or caps lock is
in place.
Thank God.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on with that thing still. I could not tell you.
Yeah, I just keep tapping until I see the letters. Yeah,
I'm constantly having to go back and either capitalize or uncapitalize because I always have it backwards and it never clicks in my head.
How can this be so stupid? The problem is that we're used to most of the stuff being intuitive, right? And so we don't try and like learn how the interface works because our gut sense is that it should just be intuitive.
Right.
And with stuff
exactly
like
right.
that,
it should just be intuitive.
With stuff like, and especially a freaking shift key, with stuff like that, though, you're just like, I don't know. It's probably right. Oh, it's not right. And you just go back and you change the state and you you don't learn it and it's dumb.
Well,
you shouldn't have to learn how to use a shift
too, because
key.
Sometimes you go back and it does the autocorrect thing. So then it has just changed the state back and then you're tapping it thinking that you're changing the state, but it's really changing it back to the way it originally was because it already auto changed itself.
Yeah.
And you're
this
like,
this is why I drink.
Yeah,
got
totally.
Me again, bastard.
You know what I hate? Have you guys noticed that sometimes Apple Pay doesn't work on just random terminals in stores?
Yep.
It's so. And then
especially if someone's behind you, you feel like such a. Jerk.
Like a giant tool, like, oh, I'm going to pay with my watch, and then it doesn't work.
The only time it hasn't worked for me was when I went into, it's the grocery store that's Vitamin Cottage.
Oh, yeah, I think you talked about that.
Yeah, and it's because they haven't fully implemented the system yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, what really grinds my gears is I look at a frickin', it says Apple Pay on the terminal.
Right.
Not actually on the screen. I think if it was on the screen, it was probably definitely engaged, but it's just a sticker. It says Apple Pay. And I go to do it and I'm like, it's not working.
Oh, I have yet to see a terminal that actually has an Apple Pay logo on it.
On the screen, you mean?
No, on the actual terminal itself.
Yeah, this is something that the Albertsons stores are doing for me, or well, for themselves. But
they're not taking Apple Pay, or they are?
They are. It's just
okay, but it just doesn't.
I have
work
to learn sometimes. Which terminal it is. I think it's the same terminal over and over again. I'm just not super clear on which line it is. So now
it's
I just have to avoid it.
It's got a faulty NFC chip in it or something.
Yeah, and I've told them and. This last time I was like, yeah, it usually works. It works with other ones. And they said, yeah, I've seen it work. I don't know why it's not working. And someone's like, oh, I think it's
broken.
They say, I think the Wi-Fi has something to do with it. The Wi-Fi is not working today. And I just skip on that. I just let them
You
have
just
it.
Like take your wallet out and get your card out. And
yeah. And then I'm like, there are five more steps I have to do now. Oh, woe is me.
Stone knives and bear skins.
Mm-hmm.
It still works about 90%.
Yeah, it's
5% of the time for me.
I guess it's still worth it because, you know, you get the surprise and delight of other people like, oh, you just paid with your watch.
And it'll only get better.
Yeah.
Now there's Android Pay. Come on.
Yeah. So it's the same
because
thing as Google Wallet.
Pay wasn't enough or Google Wallet, whatever
it was.
It was
called Google Wallet.
The Android logo. Just they had to copy Apple in every way. So not only did they call it the same thing, their symbol is the Android robot with the, you know, Android Pay.
Does not bother me one bit. I think that it is totally fine. I think it's probably good for us, good for everybody.
It pushes the thing further
and it becomes sort of part of the nomenclature of what's going on, because
I liked it as Google Wallet.
Nah.
I was calling it Google Pay. I think everybody calls it Google Pay.
Except for me.
Yeah, because you follow the rules and you know what it's really called.
Yeah.
I'll probably still call
it Google
Pay.
I'll be the guy that doesn't follow the rules, and I call it Google Pay or Google Wallet, and everyone else will be like Google Pay or Android Pay, and I'll be all confused, and it won't matter because I use an iPhone.
I don't know. It didn't help that the two announcements were the Android Pay, which is total looked to me like total copy of Apple Pay, and then Google Photos, and the freaking icon for Google Photos looks just like the Photos app icon.
Oh, really?
That's funny. Well, they use a pinwheel instead of a flower, but it's still the multicolored.
Oh, yeah.
Pinwheel.
Well, they've had that. That's like the Picasa. That's holdover from Picasa. But I want to.
Maybe Apple copied them and then they copied them back. I don't know.
Maybe. But I want to address the whole, Apple really needs to get on their game and offering way more free storage, and Apple really needs to give us everything for free and this and that. Why do we have to pay? And I would just like to point out that Google gets to index and rifle through all your stuff.
Yeah, you're paying with Google. It's just not from your pocketbook.
Yes, you're paying with your data. So I am very happy to give Apple like $2 a month, which is like nothing.
$3 a month.
Three
right?
bucks.
Yeah, $3.
Or
four.
Dude,
who cares? I don't even notice it. It doesn't even hurt.
$3.99. $4.
Okay.
Whatever
yeah, so
it is,
$4
it's
a month
fine.
Is what I'm giving Apple.
I think maybe they should adopt some kind of device-based base allotment, you know?
You know, for me, it's a $4 a month insurance policy for my iPhone and iPad because right. all my data is getting backed up automatically, and if something goes wrong, all I have to do is get a new device, tell it restore from backup, $4 a month, awesome insurance policy. Oh, and I get some other stuff along with it.
Yeah, I'm paying only $1 a month, dude. I have the 20 gig.
You have the 99 cent.
Yeah, that's nothing. Chill out, people.
Yeah, my iPhoto library was 116 gigs, so I had to.
Oh, so you throw that up there. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, I don't want to do that, but yeah, so there's that. Jeff Williams talked to Walt Mossberg. Jeff Williams is the guy, one of the Apple. I guess he's kind of more like the Tim Cookie kind of guy now these days, right? Cook-ish.
I don't know, but it was interesting that he like let some stuff slip.
Yeah, so he said that he's not good at keeping his cards close. But so he's talking about we will see the native Apple Watch SDK. It'll be previewed at WWDC, according to him, and the Watch apps will get access to health sensors, a digital crown, and more. It'll be available when iOS 9 is released. And what else was there?
Yeah, I love how he said he's not good at keeping secrets.
Yeah, that was pretty apparent.
Yeah.
When you talked about
especially
how,
when
really
what
excited
he could have
about
said
the car.
Is, I'm really good at telling you what I want to tell you when I'm supposed to.
When I'm supposed to, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because, of course, that's what was
that's
really
what happened. Really happened, yeah.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, that is a change. I mean, Apple would have, in the past, waited till WWDC before revealing anything, so.
Yep. But yep. Faster apps, as we've known.
Or done a controlled leak, I guess, would have been.
Yeah. Maybe that was the controlled leak.
Well, but yeah, that's not a leak. That's a official statement.
True.
You know, so I'm saying in the past, it would have been, you know, there's certain key players would have reported the story. We've heard
sure
that, you know.
Our sources say.
And everybody, we don't think we need to name those sources, right? The where controlled leaks come from.
Right.
Think Geek?
Everyone knows.
Or Think Secret? Is that what you're talking about?
You're so cute.
I'm not naming names.
Steve Jobs? Oh, I know who. That guy with the blog, right?
That guy with the blog.
Daring Fireball. Daring Fireblog.
Daring Fireblog. That's awesome.
I'm not naming names.
Sure. Reserve Strap, the guys who are monkeying around the diagnostic port on the bottom of the Apple Watch, they released a video.
Those guys are obsessed with that thing, man.
They really are. I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing to be obsessed with. But, you know.
Yeah, they need to talk to their therapist about this.
They're like,
I wonder what else they're sticking in that port.
It's so much faster to charge with this conductive charging as opposed to the inductive charging. And you know what? They charged it like it was. I was really expecting a dramatic. There's a video of them charging it side by side. I thought it was going to be way more dramatic. It was very similar. One got to 90% via inductive. The other one got to 95% in the same amount of time. So interesting. Uh-oh. Well, okay,
getting faster. Are you still there? At the very end like that.
Whoa,
is actually a thing.
What did you say?
Your whole I don't know. Someone's connection just went wonky.
Yeah, that went totally
Michael's
bananas.
Or mine?
Michael's went really weird.
Oh, yeah, you Cylon'd the whole... You're through that whole last thing.
Okay, well, everybody heard me except for you guys, but the what I was saying is that the charge time was very similar, like a 5% difference in speed of charge.
But it was at the end where they're like, see, the one is 90 and the other is 95%. Yeah. And that actually is significant because when you get to that last, like, what is it, like 10, 15%?
Yeah, it's like a triple.
That's when charging gets really slow.
Yeah.
So seeing that, between 90 and 95% for the same amount of time, that actually is pretty impressive.
I mean, a contact charge is always going to be faster because you're not going to have any... I mean, there's loss in inductive charging. You're not getting the full current going through, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That would be my assumption.
That's true.
Yeah. I think you lose that in terms of heat, probably, mostly.
Yeah. I don't know enough about the technology, but I can't imagine. I mean, it's like anything else. It's like a hardwired Ethernet connection is going to be faster than your Wi-Fi, always.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Did you guys see Target? I thought this was a kind of a misleading story title. I don't think it's that huge. They plan to offer Apple Pay after chip and PIN, after the chip and PIN upgrade, which, as Dave Hamilton often likes to point out, is not what we're going to be doing in the U.S.
Right.
He seems to be the only human being that I ever hear talk about this who's got it right. But it's going to be chip and sign. We're not going to get PIN.
We're not? Right.
Yeah.
No, we're not getting chip and PIN. We are getting chip and sign.
Yeah.
Well, that's stupid.
I agree completely.
It's totally dumb. We might as well not even switch. But so they're going to be focused on the chip and PIN card upgrade, which is kind of dumb because
the chip and sign upgrade.
Well, yeah, whatever. Even the CEO's got it wrong, but it's not really his business to worry about it. But the thing is, the card readers are already there. Those VeriSign card readers are there, and they just need to push the update to allow it. Same deal with the Apple Pay. So, but
that's what I was saying, right? My Target has the thing with the little slot in the bottom.
Yeah, and they had it on when they first threw those in, and they're just like, oh, no, turn them off.
I don't know that all their stores have been upgraded, though, so he's probably referring to the, once they complete the rollout. I mean, there's a lot of Target stores in the U.S., so. Yeah,
but it's like 1,800 stores or something.
Yeah, the quote
and
is...
And a lot of the Target stores that I go to are newer stores in our area, so I don't know, I haven't been into some of the older locations if they have the same system or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, our focus is on getting chip and PIN in place for the holidays. Down the line, we want to accept all types of payments that our guests want, but this decision was all about focus. It's a major undertaking to convert to chip and PIN, and I decided that we can't distract the team.
Sorry. It pisses me off that the industry's like, it's a major undertaking. This is so hard.
No, you just upgrade your card readers.
I get that logistically, it's
a thing,
an effort. I mean, it's an effort. It's just a matter
it
of,
is.
Like, I don't know that it's super complicated.
No,
and they make it sound like
I think it's an inventory control thing. Do we have we ordered enough units to ship to each store?
Yeah, so I think it's logistically yes, maybe it's complicated, but anyway, a lot of times when they're talking about it, it makes it sound like the technology is complicated, or
they have to reinvent the wheel to
But
this technology has been in use for years.
It's along the same lines of fiber to the curb too. It's like it's so difficult and. It's going to take years and years and years. Well,
to put a wire in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just gets frustrating because it's like, okay, that's fine. I don't want to hear about it. Suck it up and do it.
yeah, shut up and
it's
do
like
it.
The thing
already.
I say to my kids: yes, it's hard. It's not easy, but guess what? You have to do it. So suck it up and do it.
Yep. Yeah.
You have the kids burying fiber optic cable for your house?
Exactly. You know it.
Man, I should have had kids.
I think I'm Cyloning every time I open a YouTube video.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I'll stop now.
Now that I
know what...
Why are you watching YouTube videos?
It's relevant to what we're talking about.
Mm.
It's for my job.
Stick with that story.
I know, it's a totally bogus story. Oh, and last thing on the Apple Pay thing. Supposedly, according to the New York Times, Apple will be rolling out a rewards program for Apple Pay. Which, you know what? I think I might like that.
But meh.
I might like that.
That's cool, but
rewards programs make me a little bit worried because I don't like people. I mean, you're basically trading statistics information about yourself for discounts.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it'll be interesting since Apple is all about privacy, how they're going to do that. So, yeah,
it's a cash back kind of thing.
Side question. Do you guys know if I know that the they're able to track you, like if you go to Target and you pay with the same debit card every time you go, they're going to start understanding who you are and give you coupons based on that.
Oh,
Does the same thing happen with Apple Pay? Can they actually get access to an identifier that tells them who you are and use that to track you? Or is it totally...
I don't think so, because each transaction has a unique token code.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the bank, once they get that information, can link it back, obviously, to your account. But as far as the retailer's information goes, I don't think the retailer gets any info at all.
Okay. I would like to hear back from somebody if
which
you know better.
The other thing, what I was saying earlier, why the Target thing's a big deal, and actually Jeff wrote this up at the Mac Observer, and he was one of the first, if not only people, I think, that wrote up the fact that Target was a major player in MCX and Current C. I mean, they were like one of their foundation sort of like, hey, we've got Target on board with us.
Yep.
So the fact that they're going to do Apple Pay is totally outside the parameter. I mean, then... As far as then my understanding with Current C means is that they can't do Current C.
Yeah, if Current C is an exclusive thing.
They can still be in the consortium, but they can't use the Current C payment service at their terminals if they're using Apple Pay, right?
That's my understanding, because using Current C is an exclusive system.
Yeah.
So the deal is use that and nothing else.
So between Best Buy sort of dropping out and then Target dropping out, it seems like a lot of their big name retailers, at least in the U.S., are, well, maybe the currency is also U.S. only, I don't know, but they're kind of falling away.
You know, I'm surprised that there weren't other articles going in from the angle that I took, because that was the big thing, really.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I mean, and everybody also points out, you know, that Target was taking Apple Pay in their app for like online. But what was frustrating to me is you can do online pickup in the store with Target. And I tried to get around it that way. And it wouldn't let you use Apple Pay if you were using pickup in the store, because that's, I guess, considered still a retail payment. So
that's confusing for customers.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm happy that Target's getting converted over. But it was just weird that, you know, like, here's another major retailer. And everybody made such a big deal of Best Buy, because that was sort of focused on when Best Buy came out and said, hey, we're going to take Apple Pay. But nobody said a word about Target, which is just weird to me. But, oh well.
Yeah. Okay, iDevice picks, because I know Jeff needs to get out of here. So, Jeff, you go first.
All right, my iDevice pick today is a new email app that came out for the iPhone.
I was going to let Michael go first because I thought he was going to pick it.
Is
this all of our pick?
I might have missed out.
I can do a different pick.
No, do it. Do it. It's great.
What it is.
Okay, Spark.
Oh, that's out now?
Yeah. Came out today.
I thought that was going to stay in beta.
We're all under NDA.
Yeah, I didn't know. Cool. Yeah, Spark is awesome.
Yeah, so it's an alternative to using Apple's Mail app on the iPhone, and it's really clear that the Riedel team thought through how we use email on a touch device, and it's just, I mean, it's really slick, and I'm just loving, See, I just can't find the right words because I'm just so pleased with
I moved
with Spark.
I moved it into my dock today and took mail off my dock. So
I don't understand. What's the like, thanks, smile thing?
Those are quick replies.
Yeah, oh, so you it'll can do say, quick replies.
So it'll just send a thumbs up or?
Yeah, and you can do those quick replies from your Apple Watch too. So so you can like triage your email and deal with a lot of messages without even touching your iPhone.
Cool. Well, I still have feedback to give them. I thought there'd be a longer beta period that I would be privy to, but yeah, it's awesome. It's like, yeah, it works really well. It's full email on your Apple Watch, so it's perfect if you have an Apple Watch. It's really great.
This is what we were talking about last week, right?
Yeah.
It was funny because during last week's episode, I got the ping about from the Riedel guys about being in the beta.
Yeah.
And I looked at the feature set and I immediately said, hey, can you get this guy in? Because I knew Michael was looking for a full email client on the Apple Watch and this was it. And I'm like, this might be your thing.
It's so totally my thing. I love it.
Yeah. So it solves the thing that Michael was asking for last week, which was an email client that you could reply to on the watch or reply with.
Yeah, so check it out.
So,
that's so awesome.
And it's free.
Have you been using the little, I call it the path-like feature, where it gives you quick access to some of the different areas, including you can add a calendar. So you can get your calendar in your email. I know a lot of people really want that.
No, I haven't figured that out yet. There are a lot. I've not had time to explore.
You
got to
download the. You got to download the full version that was just released because I didn't see this in the beta. I don't know if it was in the beta or not.
Oh.
But it's good. You know the little circle down in the lower right hand corner, and you tap on it, and it brings up. You can have four sort of little quick shortcuts. So I think it does. It does the snoozed email stuff. So. Some of the features some of the great features I think that it has are the smart inbox.
Yep.
Yeah, where it will prioritize your inbox emails based on sort of what your email behavior. So it tries to put like newer ones from more important people, smart notifications. So you can either get notifications about all your emails coming in, or it will again try and figure out which are the ones that are from people you really care about versus just, you know, average emails that you're getting all the time or, you know, get infrequently from other people. It will auto sort out your newsletters with the smart inbox. So if you have subscriptions that it will separate those from your other messages. So they're in a different area. It has a snooze feature. So if there's an email that you're not ready to read right now, but you still need to get back to it, but you don't want it in your inbox, you can snooze it. So those sorts of features are like,
there's tons of stuff. Killer. This thing is really,
and it's got great swipe gestures.
They've been working really hard on this. Yeah. There's tons of customization, so you can make it just the way that you like it. So yeah, check it out. It's great. And it's free. So Spark by Riedel. They go by Riedel. Riedel. It's not Riedel.
Yeah, Riedel.
Riedel. Okay.
And they're going to be adding in additional features too. So you can even kind of preview it now where, it'll have, you know, they're planning on it. Like they have calendar now, but they're planning on adding other things, probably to-dos and those sorts of things. I forget where I was seeing that.
Yeah. Cool.
It's like coming soon.
All right. Well, thanks for hipping me to that fact, both before it came out and now the fact that it did come out.
Just launched today.
All right, Adam. So what's your pick? Is it Spark?
It was going to be Spark.
Okay. We can just list it as Spark. I know Jeff has to get going. So
yeah, that's good.
My pick actually is going to be an app that a listener recommended to me. Another one of those complaint things kind of fulfilled. Let's see. I'm trying to find. John on Twitter. He recommended TubeX for YouTube. And this thing is, it's great. It's way less sucky than the official YouTube app. It doesn't bother the hell out of me. It has the actual UI for the player is not exactly the iOS player, but it's close enough that it's not totally, totally stupid. It's, you know, you have the play pause button in the bottom and it's, It has the variable scrubbing. It has, I mean, it has all the smart things that you really want. It has volume control. I think you can, yeah, you can turn up the player speed. You can have a sleep timer. You can play video in the background. You just have to, yeah, it just keeps going. That's awesome.
And when you're done, I have a pick. So.
And then you change the video quality, and it doesn't have that stupid swipe backy thing. You can just do all the stuff that you need to do, the YouTube stuff, but it's not super frustrating. So there. It's called TubeX and it's free. One word, TubeX. Good, Adam.
I'm going to do my turnaround pick.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to call my turnaround pick. So, I'm going to pick automatic.
Oh yeah.
Which I hated.
No, you
remember?
Like it?
It was my anti-pick one time.
Yeah, why
it was.
You should just give it to me.
Complete turnaround for me. Because they came out with a new version. Did you get the new hardware, Michael?
I've never had one.
With the new hardware?
I know about it. I vaguely know that there's new hardware.
Yeah. So the new hardware has a built-in GPS and some other features. They're also going to start to have apps and integration. They have an API, and they're going to have integration with other apps as well. So they're going to start opening up things, which is interesting. But the main reason it's my turnaround pick was because my biggest frustration was I really was shocked when I got it that it wouldn't really easily allow me to track business mileage.
Oh, yeah.
So in the most recent or one of the most recent software updates, they added what they're calling auto trip tagging. And you can turn on a feature so that after you finish a trip, it will send you a notification and say, do you want to tag this as business? And you tap the notification, it opens up the app, and then you can tag it as business. So I don't forget to tag my stuff as business. And then
sweet.
At the end of the year, I'll be able to go onto the website and just print out a business log report of all my business mileage and turn that in for tax purposes. And I also finally accepted the fact that I was going to let it control my driving behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting into the gamification thing. So I used to score like 40, 50%.
Yeah.
I'm at 92% this week. So I'm doing very, very well. So not going over the 70 miles an hour. I do still wish it would have the ability for me to enter or get a more accurate average fuel pricing for my area. Because I think it still kind of just does an average. I don't know if it's a national average or if it's more smart about that. Do you happen to know? It doesn't seem like the fuel costs are representative necessarily of what I actually pay for fuel, I guess is my thing.
Oh, you're talking about looking for actual fuel prices and stuff?
No, yeah, but the app will estimate based on how you're driving how much you've spent in fuel. So like it's saying, oh, you know, I've spent $51 in gas this week.
Yeah, that's got to be that's pretty estimated. I still use Gas Cubby.
Right. But why this app doesn't have just a setting where I can go in and say, here's what I'm paying for fuel, you know, or even better, it'd be great if I could actually log my actual fuel costs into it. But beyond that, you know, it's much improved. And the business mileage thing, I think, is going to be really helpful for me. So there's new hardware, and the new hardware has GPS, so it's more accurate, too. And it'll be able to GPS without your phone. So you can, if you somehow left your phone behind, it'll still track your trips and stuff like that.
Is it cheaper now?
No, nope, same price, $99.
$100 for one?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, because I saw like a two.
They did give me $20 off because I think I owned one already.
Oh, okay. Core charge?
Core charge, I don't know. They just sent me an email and said, hey, we got new hardware. Since you've been a loyal customer, you can buy the new one. And they gave me an opportunity to order a new one for, I think it was $20 off or something like that. So I ordered a new hardware.
Okay. A new hardware.
Yep. All right. And I have to bail. My phone's
all right.
Ringing.
All right. Adios.
See you, Jeff.
Right. See ya.
His little watch is ringing. I had that. I had a phone call this morning when I was in the bathroom getting ready to go and like brushing my teeth or something. And I had the phone in the other room and I saw the notification on my watch that my phone was ringing. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not going to answer it on my watch because like I'm in the bathroom and I have toothpaste in my mouth. So I hit the little answer on iPhone button and got rid of the toothpaste, went in the other room, grabbed my phone, and the person didn't seem to mind at all that I put them on hold.
Oh, does it automatically put them on hold?
Yeah, it puts them on hold. It plays a tone, and so it answers the call, so you don't lose the call, and,
right.
and plays a tone.
Does it give them a message like, "Hey, they're coming"?
Well,
I'm gonna have to try that out. I've always been curious about that.
Well, yeah. Here, let me call you, and then we can just figure out what it actually sounds like. Because,
so are we gonna wrap up the show?
Yeah, we'll wrap up the show. And
okay, because. Is this going to be exciting times?
Maybe. It'll be interesting. Is your thing ringing?
Yes.
Hit the little...
Do I hit the green button?
Hit the answer on iPhone buttons. You scroll down.
Oh. Didn't even know that was there.
Yeah, so I guess that's what plays. That's kind of a weird thing for...
She was giving you a message? Like, do you know what's going on?
No, it just sounds like... something's happening. You know, I think maybe it's just one of those like deer caught in a headlight situations where you're like, I did not expect a noise like that at all, and they just kind of sit there patiently and see what happens.
You're gonna think you called a fax line or something like that.
Yeah, well, she didn't have any problem with it at all. She said, hey, you have an appointment at da-da-da-da. And I said, okay, thank you, and she didn't have a problem with it at all. So
couldn't they play some Muzak or something like that, like, please hold, Michael will be here soon,
or Siri?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could just have Siri do it for you. I don't know. It's strange. But yeah, that's what happens on the other line when you do that. But it's a neat feature to have. So if you can't,
I think if I heard that, I would just hang up.
Yeah. Well, you either answer the phone or you think, okay, I can't answer the phone for another 10 seconds. Hit that button and hopefully you can get to your phone by then.
Well, I learned something new because I didn't even know that was there.
Yeah, you have to scroll down.
Yeah.
With the crown. So, yeah. And Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. He's at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and he does the TMO Daily Observations podcast every weekday. And you should definitely check that out because he has some awesome stuff every day. He talks about what's going on at the Mac Observer, what sort of stories are going on, and he brings staff on, the editorial staff, and they talk about the day's current events, so check that out. Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, maccast.com, at MacCast on Twitter.
Yep.
Thanks for being here, Adam. Casper.com/TIOSS. Go check him out. Go to that website. And just use the URL to check it out, even if you're just interested. It lets them know that you're scoping out a neat mattress and that we told you about them. So, and then if you want to buy it, $50 off. And our advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. With that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this? A stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus? Stylus. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck.